We're starting a new topic today that I hope fits in some of the Christmas season that we're involved in right now. And as you look at the screen there, you'll see the title of it, The God Who Sings. Did you know God sings? The God Who Sings, what's he singing about? God Who Sings Over You. That's a beautiful passage. Back in Zephaniah, I know you know where that is, Zephaniah. One preacher said that's back there where all the pages stick together. But you haven't used them in a while. Zephaniah 3:17 is a scripture. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. This is the prophet here writing to Israel. They've come back from from Babylon. They're rebuilding the temple and all of that. But he's talking about their glowing future that they have. Only he's talking about actually our future. Future of God's people saved in Christ. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I think God must like you, or he wouldn't be singing about you. If you look at that, he's talking about great delight in you. In his love, he no longer will rebuke you. One translation says he will quiet you with his love. Does God care about us? Well, why did Christ came? Because God wanted to get us out of our mess that Adam and Eve brought to this world along with the devil. And we'll talk about some of that. That all of this happened and God redeemed us from it. So we're titling this The God Who Sings Over You. In the next slide, we're gonna answer a couple of questions, though. How could God sing over me? He probably doesn't even like me. If he knows I exist, which for most people, they're kind of doubtful that he even knows. We kind of think all that we do and say is kind of sort of hidden from God, but it's not. Is it? It's not hidden from God. He knows all things, and he knows them right now. He knows them right now. He hears, he sees, he knows. So how could he be singing about me? How could he be singing over me? I'm not a great person. I haven't done anything great. In fact, these passages, you know these passages. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's no one righteous, not even one. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Paul's talking about in Romans, through the Holy Spirit, talking about how sinful the world is. We've all participated. We've all done it. Then I put this other one up here, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You hear that one all the time, don't you? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So how in the world can God be singing about me when I'm such a mess? He might be singing an old country song about me, how bad it is, you know. But he's singing. He's singing over you. And if you look at the originals, what we started out with, He takes great delight in you, and his love he will no longer rebuke you, but rejoice over you with singing. But how can he do that? Because I got all this problem I have. I don't do right. I don't always say the right thing. I don't do the right thing. I'm going to take you to another scripture here in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, you'll see this. Jesus, in fact, let me turn over there for a minute. Let me turn over for a minute and look at this. If you have your Bible handy, just look at John chapter 8, verse 23. Jesus is dealing with enemies here who don't believe in him. And he starts talking about this to them, and it really angers them in a way because of what he says. In chapter 8, verse 23, he says this. Verse 23. You are from below, I am from above. You are from below, here. I came from somewhere else. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe I am the one I claim to be. The NIV has that. You will indeed die in your sins. The only issue is that that's not in the original text. What's the original text say? Original text says, you're from below, I'm from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe I am, if you do not believe I am, you will indeed die in your sins. What's he saying? You have to believe I am. Well, they're looking at him. They know he am. They know he's there. No, he's talking about Exodus, about chapter 3, where the burning bush, and Moses wanted to know God's name. What did God say? I am. That I am. Some translations say I am, and I will be what I will be. Well, actually, the Hebrew word I am is one word, and it's the idea that I am eternal. I don't have a past, present, and future. I am. I don't change because I am. I don't need to change. And Jesus said, hey guys, that's me. Oh, they didn't like that. That's one thing they crucified him for. He claimed to be the Son of God. What's that got to do with God singing over me and all my sin? What it has to do is this. The next slide. God made him who had no sin. Who's the one who never had a sin? We know that's Jesus. That's who he's talking about. God made him who had no sin to be sin. To be sin for us. He didn't have his own sin, so he didn't need to die. In fact, without having any sin, he technically did not have to die, did not need to die. He said, no one takes my life, I lay it down. He could have gone back to the Father and said, I'm not going to do this. This is too painful. They don't deserve it. They don't appreciate it, so I'm going. He could have done that, but he didn't. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. For what reason? Pardon me. That in him, Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So that's the answer to your sin problem. How could God be singing over you when you've done things that are wrong? Because he has cleansed you. He has erased it. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus took it to the cross. You don't have it anymore. You don't have your sins anymore. You're not destined for hell if you believe on Jesus and you do what he tells you to do and obey him as your Lord. You don't have any sin. It's been erased. It's been washed away. You hear that said a lot, don't you? Yes, he's singing over you, and he's got good reason for it, because you heard and you accepted and you're walking in it, and he's happy about that. He's happy about you, and he's happy about who you are in Christ, and he's happy because you saw it and you took it. When the kingdom was offered to you, when Christ was offered to you, you said, yes, I want that. He's singing over you. He sings. God's happy. Oh, he's happy. Don't believe the junk that the devil preaches through movies and books and TV and media and the internet. Don't believe that junk that God hates you and God is out to give you a bad life because you've been such a bad person. That's propaganda. That's the devil's propaganda. I'm reading your scriptures. What does it say in scriptures? The one who knew no sin, God made him to be sin on our behalf, that we might be the righteousness of God. We might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the truth. The devil hates the truth because the truth sets people free, doesn't it? This will set you free. If you forget your worldly mindset for a little bit and say, I want to know more about this. I want to know Christ. I want to know more about what he's done for me. Then you start learning and you start growing. And you start realizing my Father in heaven really cares about me. Now, primarily it's written to the people of God, but you're one of them, aren't you? If you're one of the people of God, you qualify. You qualify for this. Well, how do I know I'm of the people of God? What does the Bible say? Jesus just said it. Unless you believe I am, but if you believe he is, the Son of God, if you believe he is the Son of God, don't you have eternal life? I know there's some things he requires you to do. You repent of your sins. You're baptized into Christ. All those things take place, and you get involved in church and things like that to help other people. You're not getting involved in church to earn your way to heaven. You're getting involved in church to help other people find this truth that they desperately need. That's what we're for. That's what we're here for. That's why we need help and helpers. We need people that are willing to help. If you believe what he says here, you get set free. You say, God is not mad at me anymore. He's not angry at me anymore. I've crossed the line. I've come from death to life, the Bible says. You walk from death to life, or he gets you from death to life, and you have life. Are you listening? Please listen. Don't just sit, and don't just daydream, and don't just talk. Listen. This is your life. This is your freedom. This is what matters in your life. Your life is going away so fast. So fast. What will this building look like if it's even here 50 years from now? It's been here almost, 60 years. What's it going to look like 50 years from now? We won't be here. Most of us won't be here. Maybe you hang on a little bit longer, but my goodness. This is too important. This is eternal life. This is heaven or hell. This is paying for your own sins versus Christ paying for your sins for you. And when he paid for your sins for you, guess what? They're stamped paid in full, and you're free to go. Free to go do what, sin? No, free to go serve. Free to go follow Christ. Free to go help the world around you see these truths, to get this truth that sets them free. The one who was made to be sin died for us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, not by yourself, in him, he might become the righteousness of God. Next slide. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If you're in Christ, what does that mean? I've accepted him as my Lord. I believe in him. I believe everything he says. I will do whatever he tells me to do. Here I am. If you have that, what does this verse say? If anyone's in relationship with Christ, you are a new creature, a new creation. Something new happened to you. What happened to you? You're new. Jesus called it born anew. Or born from above, actually, is what the phrase is. You were born from the earth, from your parents, but now you're born from above. You got a new birth. You got something new in you. That something new in you is growing every day. So here he's saying, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. That person's a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's another reason God sings over you. You ain't what you used to be. He's happy about that. He's happy about that. There's a passage back in the Psalms, not on the screen here, that talks about precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Anything, we hear that at funerals sometimes. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why would it be precious? We don't think it's precious when somebody dies. We know they're going to go to be with the Lord if they're believers. Why does God think it's precious? The death of his saints is precious. Same reason the old man rejoiced when he looked way down the road and he saw his son, who'd been in the far country and wasted everything, came back ragged and nasty and been feeding pigs. And the old man saw the boy. Did the old man turn around and go in the house and lock the door? Did he say to one of his servants, go stop that kid? Now he comes back. Now he thinks, I'm going to take him back. After all he did, wasted all this money, lived this terrible life I told him never to live. What did the old man do? He ran. He ran to that boy that must have smelled like pigs. And he ran to him and he hugged him. And he brought him home. Brought him on in the house. And he said, go get cleaned up. I'm going to give you my best robes, and we're going to have a party. Why did Jesus tell that story? Well, somewhere in there, the Pharisees and others had said, why is he always palling around with sinners? Then he started telling stories about how God feels about lost people. If a man has 100 sheep, loses one, he leaves the 99, goes after the one. A woman has what? Money, 10 coins, and loses one. She still got nine. Well, why is she worried about the one? Oh, she wants that one back. That shepherd wants that one sheep back. The father wanted that one son back. He had the other son. He had a beautiful farm, a ranch, or whatever it was, but he wants the son back. He's telling us who God is. You can be the most lost person on the face of the earth, and he wants you back. He wants you to be innocent like you were when you were first born. Innocent. You're not innocent anymore, but because of Christ, you get cleansed. The one who knew no sin or was made to be sin on our behalf. Why is he telling that story about the kid? That's God's mindset. God sings. At that party, do you expect the old man sang over that son? Was he glad to see him back? Do you think the old man, they had a party, and the old fellow might have made a fool of himself dancing around and singing? Because he told people there, he said, I thought he was dead. I thought he was dead, now he's alive. Let's have a party. Marvin Phillips used to speak at the Tulsa Workshop a lot. He had a phrase, he used to say, the kingdom of God's a party. Do you know what the kingdom of God really is? You would agree. You say, it's a party. And why is it a party? Because it's a bunch of free people. They got free from their sin. They got free from their past. And they're headed to be with God. They're journeying right into the heart of God. The God who runs after the lost person. God who never gives up. That's why he sings. I bet that old man sang for that boy, didn't he? Next slide. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Why did I bring that up? Well, why is sin such a problem? It's such a problem because when Adam and Eve sinned, the devil took over this world. And I'll show you that passage. Is it the next one? I think it is. No, not yet, but there's a passage we'll get to in a minute that talks about the devil taking over the world. The whole world's under control of the evil one. I've quoted that one a lot. So the passage that's up here is, he rescued us from what domain? The domain, a domain is a kingdom, right? He rescued us from what? A kingdom of darkness. Then what did he do? Transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we're now in a new place. We got a new family, a new Lord. We have a new kingdom we live in because we have a king. And your older brother Jesus is the king. So your royal family. I saw pictures today getting dressed, the news was on, and pictures of the Prince of Wales now, because his father's now king. Beautiful picture. Family, he and his wife, beautiful children. We're in the royal family, just not that one. Oh, that one's not much compared to the one we're in, because the one we're in is God is our Father, and Jesus is the King of the kingdom, and here we are, servants and sons and children in the kingdom, all because of his work. He brought us in. Do you think that's why God sings over us? Oh, I tell you, get it in your heart. He's happy. Our Father is happy with his family. We come in from every area, stragglers, broken people, people that didn't have a future, people that thought they knew everything. After we found out we didn't, and he brings us in, and here we are, a ragged bunch. But he cleans us up, and now we're his kids. There's a story I read once about persecution going on in medieval times or sometime. Acts of further back than that, I think it was, but It was about a small church, and the government began to pressure that church, and they knew the church had some money. So they called in one of the leaders of the church and said, "I want you to bring all the wealth of the church to me and give it to me. I want you to turn it in. I give you three days to do it." 3 days later, this bishop or elder in the church came, and he had a bunch of people with him. And the people with him were sick and broken and poor and didn't have much in life. And he brought all those people, and he said to this dictator, "There's the wealth of the church." What's the wealth of the church? People. Broken people that have been transformed miraculously. There are miracles you see every day and you don't notice. You see them every day, you don't notice. Some drug addict gets clean. Some marriage gets put back together. Somebody gets healed of a terrible disease. Does God love His kids? It's almost like you hear Him singing. He's happy. How can He be happy with me? Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? Are you saved? Are you in Christ? He's happy not at what you used to be. He's happy at what you are now. We've been transferred, translated. One version says translated. Another version says transported. If you remember the old Star Trek series, they had a transporter. They transport you from one place to the other. Have we been transported? Have we been translated? You translate something from English into Spanish, you've changed it into Spanish. We've been transported. Translated into the what? He said you've been translated to the kingdom of the Son that He loves. And then we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He rescued us from Satan's kingdom. Notice in the next slide, John 17, verse 1 and 2. John 17. "Father, glorify your Son." I've shortened it up a little bit. "Father, glorify your Son, that so your Son may glorify you, just as you gave Him authority over all mankind." Does Jesus have authority over all people? He said the Father gave Him this authority over all mankind, all human beings, so that to all whom you have given Him, He may give eternal life. I want you to focus on the word authority. Does He have authority? Does Jesus, a man who's God's Son, who walked this earth as God in flesh, that He has authority over all human beings? You say, well, why does that matter? That matters because Adam started out with that authority. God told Adam and Eve, He told Adam especially, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Rule over the animals. He made a list. Rule over this planet I have made. It's yours. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What did Adam and Eve do? Gave it to Satan. So Satan right now, in fact, the Bible says that, we'll get to it in a minute, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, how could that be if Jesus is in control of the kingdom? Well, Jesus is in control of the kingdom of God. Satan's in control of everybody outside the kingdom of God because he runs them and he persecutes them and he pressures them. And he uses his evil to cause them to do evil things, puts evil into their head, puts evil into their spirits, and they go out and do evil things. He tempts them, and he tries them, and he pushes them, and he breaks them, and he gets them up here, and then he crashes them down. Whatever, he likes to torture people. We've been rescued from that. Jesus now has that authority. He has that authority now. Another slide here. We know that we're children of God. 1 John 5:19-20. We know that we're children of God. Do we know that? If you know that, you hear God singing over you. You're supposed to know. John wrote it in 1 John chapter 5. Read the whole chapter. We know that we're children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come. The Son of God has come. Well, why did He come? Next slide tells you why He came. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. 1 John 3, verse 8. So here's the evil kingdom of Satan still operating. We still see it, politics, worldly living, things around us. But Jesus came to destroy that. How did he destroy that? He made a way where we can escape Satan's kingdom and come into the kingdom of God, where there's peace and joy and love and hugs and happiness and all these good things. He made a way. He translated us. When you got born again, you got moved. You ever moved from one house to another, one town to another? Okay, you got moved, and you don't live there anymore. You came out, and you got translated into something else called the kingdom of God. Now, you may have some old memories of the place you used to live. You have to be careful about that. Sometimes Christians will brag about how bad they were. But that's not you anymore. Oh, I used to go out and I used to do this, that, and the other, and kind of brag about all that. It's like, don't be bragging about that. Don't be bragging about that. That would have taken you under completely for eternity. Don't brag about that. You say, but my Father loved me so much, He made a way, and He brought me in, and He gave me the insight to see, and He had the message preached to me, and the Spirit worked, and He brought me in, and boy, do I have a future now. I have a future now. Why do some prayers go unanswered? Why is life tough for some for Christians on this planet? Because we still have an enemy, don't we? And he has not been canceled, but his work has been destroyed. He still has his people in a little group, but the kingdom of God's growing. Every time somebody comes to Christ, the kingdom of God grows and grows and grows. It's still growing. And as it's growing, we're moving toward our future. That's why God sings. He's happy. Because Jesus did what he was sent to do. He crushed and broke and shattered Satan's kingdom. It's still here. And it still tries. But do you remember what the word says? Resist the devil. What will happen? He runs. Jesus one time, when Peter was trying to get Jesus to avoid the cross, he looked at the disciples and was talking about Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." That might be a clumsy way to say it for us in English, but you know what? You can say the same thing. You can say, "Get out of my way, devil." You can say, "I heard a lady," or actually I saw a t-shirt a lady had on, and said, "Not today, Satan." Nope. You have a will, and you need to exercise that will like a steel wedge against Satan. You got a will that's born again and that's endued with the Holy Spirit, and you can just resist. Oh, we fall for it so many times, and we claim it's our weakness, or we claim it's our genetic heritage, or we claim it's this, or we claim it's that. Oh, I can't help it. So you're saying God is impotent. God can't help you. No, you're not saying that. You're not going to say that, are you? You resist. You resist. And you say, "No. Get out of my way, Satan." And what will happen? He gives up. He doesn't walk away. What does he do? Flee is run. Once you resist, the Spirit of God starts working, and he hates that. He's afraid of that. So he runs. We've been transferred out of that kingdom, evil kingdom, into the one that God has brought for us. The reason the Son of God appeared was to do what? Destroy the devil's work. Well, where's the devil's work? On the earth? Has it been destroyed? Governments all the time, you'll probably see it in our day, governments all the time are trying to stamp out the church. It's going on right now in the world. Stamp it out. Has that ever worked? Not for 2,000 years. Most of these dictators are in the grave. Some of them are still around. And most of these governments are in museums because they passed away like Rome a long time ago. But where's the church? Oh my goodness. Life. Eternal life by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still here. He's not the one that flees. The devil's the one that has to flee. So that life is still, that burning ember, that life that God put within us and within the church is still here, and it's still glowing, and it's still growing, and it's still building, and it's still building up steam, and it's still, but it has enemies. So don't be too worried if you become a Christian, you're involved, you're growing, and God's singing over you, and you still have some problems because you have an enemy. You say, well, what do I do about it? Do what the Bible said. What did the Bible say? Resist. We know what resist means, don't we? I think it was Dennis the Menace, one little cartoon kid got in trouble, you know, and his mama told him to sit down in the corner. She got mad at him, you know, sit in that corner. So he sat in the corner, and the little thought bubble over his head, what's he thinking? He's thinking, well, I'm sitting down, but inside I'm standing up. You can stand up to the devil, even if you got a bad situation. I'm not taking this. I'm not accepting this. I'm resisting. Get out of my way. God said I could. My Father sings over me, and He loves me. He will quiet me with His love, and I'm going to resist you, and you're not going to take over my life. You can't have it. You can't have it. You're not going to be allowed in here. You can't have it. Don't let it in. Don't let him, the devil, come in. That last line up there, kind of pointed the whole thing, I guess you would say. What's that last line say? Can you read it from back there? I don't know if you, I'll read it to you. No, back one, Judy. Back one more. I didn't get that last line in. There you go, the yellow one. He came to do what? Jesus came to retake for us what Adam and Eve lost to the devil. Why? Jesus now has authority over all people. Adam does not have that because he lost it. Jesus has authority over all human beings. Satan does not have it because Jesus destroyed Satan's kingdom. It's in ruins right now. It still functions some, but it's in ruins. Jesus came to retake for you what Adam and Eve lost to the devil. Therefore, God sings over us. Now the last one, we're going to pray over our notebook because we've got people in here, name after name after name, in this book that we've set aside. You put names in here. You gave me sheets. Keep doing it if you want to, if you have other people. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What world do you overcome? Satan's world. He can't harm you. The whole world's under the control of the evil one, it says in 1 John 5, but also says, but he can't harm you. Satan can't harm you. We resist. So we're going to resist on behalf of these people, aren't we? God wants us to ask for His light to come into these lives. And when the light comes, it probably has happened to a lot of these people. We just don't know it. And by the way, if you have a praise report, let us have it. We'll put it. I've got some in here. Some people who have come to Christ because of this. When God works, He works on the heart. And He lets light come in. And the light of the Bible calls it the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. So we're praying for that, aren't we? So while I'm praying, you be praying too. Father, we are so grateful that You sing over us, that You care so much about us, that You care about all these people that we have collected, names we have collected, and we're praying for them. You care so much about them that You want them to enjoy what we have. You want them to come in and enjoy so that Your singing can continue and You'll be singing in their lives, over their lives, because they've come in. They've come to Christ. So we thank You, Father, that You hear us. You hear us because of Christ, not because of who we were. We didn't deserve any answers, but we get answers now because of Christ. He has cleansed us. He has brought us into your kingdom, the kingdom of the Son that you love so dearly. Therefore, you love us with all your heart. We ask, Father, that you send out workers, that you bring people to us if we need to teach them, that you help us reach out to people, that you also touch their lives and their hearts, that the gospel can come in and light can come in. Thank you, Father, for hearing us today. We thank you because of your love, because of your wonderful passages of Scripture that promise us that you do care about us tremendously. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.